Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
On 1116 SEM. Ultimate Rap with Tony Shabecki, George Tanikin, Troy Santak and Emma Non-Francesco.
Good afternoon everyone and welcome to the Ultimate Rap here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. That's not really a rap song, I understand that, but that's okay. A lot of this program is going to be very different, no doubt about it. I am joined in the studio, and of course I should mention that the Ultimate Rap is proudly brought to you by Jetport Airport Parking. They're setting a new standard for long-term and short-term parking at Melbourne's Tullamarine Airport and our great friends out at Northern Motors out in Grimshaw Street, Bundoora.
That's Northern Jeep you're talking about.
Well, that is Northern Jeep,
correct.
Yeah,
they're all part of the big family.
Northern Motors.
It's a bit like this show. Huge family.
We're a massive family. Let me introduce the family. I'll start with the father.
No, let's start with the youngest member and the best-looking one.
Oh, let's do that.
By that much. By a long way.
Absolutely. He just wants his beer at the end of
Emma.
The night.
Emma Notta-Francesco, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Thanks, Shebex. It's great to be here with you boys. I'm honoured to be sitting in this room with three strapping young lads. And
love the way she speaks.
Good.
Love the way she speaks.
She's good. I'll go around the table then, shall I?
Why not?
George Tanikin.
G'day, mate. How
are
you?
Welcome back to 1116 this year.
Look, it's fun. It's fantastic to have our own spot. And more importantly, every time I'm in the same room or in the same studio as the living, breathing Googler, I'm talking about Troy Zantac, I am chuffed. If ever Google goes down, I just go, hey, Troy. Like now. Hey, Troy, how are you, mate?
Thank you very much, George, for that wonderful introduction. Great to see you, Shebex, at the helm, and Emma Notta-Francesco,
and he's got a,
mind.
Do you know why he's running the show? He's got a new super license.
You pronounced it correctly, thank you.
He's got a new super license.
They
give them out in the V8 supercars to anyone these days, apparently.
I've got one. We're going to talk about plenty of things throughout the show. It's not going to be footy-focused. It's going to be all sports. We're going to be looking at everything that's happening in the world of sport and has been happening in the last week or so, hence the reason why it is the Ultimate Rap. There's also plenty of live sport happening as well. We'll be crossing out to Larry Canning shortly, and we'll find out what's happening in the Vic Open. But I suppose we should introduce you, Emma. We've said hello, but there'll be people out there
who have... There's a lot of attention on me now.
You're new. You're vibrant. You're.
She's normally the one in the Channel 10 traffic chopper,
which is where people would know
her from. That. Come on.
Well, that's. Excuse me. Last time I saw you,
I know because
I waved
together
to you and you never waved back.
She's moved on to bigger and better things.
Well, I
George
know that.
Is an integral part of the Ultimate Rap.
Nah, we had fun together, George. I loved it when you threw to me.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay. Long walks. Chocolate ice cream.
It's not going to be that sort of show, is it?
Here we go.
Could be.
I'm a Collingwood supporter.
Yeah.
Okay. One strike.
My teeth are fine.
Ba-bow.
Bring it on. See, I knew you were going to say that. It's the stereotype. I'm waiting for the text to come through. By the way, you can text us at 0433981116 with anything that you want to say about me, Baron King of Collingwood, or anything else. Yeah, so I was in the chopper for many, many years. Let me do this.
Yeah, that's great.
There it is.
She's awoken the spirits of the Channel 10. Love it.
And left to pursue my passion for sport. I worked for supercars for quite a few years. Did a bit of soccer here and there. Worked with Shebex on many things.
Yeah.
And
we won't hold that against you.
We're all friends here. Come on, Troy. Just got back from the drift cars this weekend. So I do love my motorsport. People ask all the time, does she really like sport? How come she likes cars? Well, I'm just a girl that likes fast cars. So
nothing wrong with that.
You like the motorbikes too, Emma?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I've been riding motorbikes since I was a little girl on the farm with my brothers. That's probably why I love sport so much, I guess. I've grown up with two older boys. And,
competing. Always competing with the boys.
Always competing. Yeah, so, yeah. Just like Troy and I. It's going to be a competition.
We've got off to a great start, Em, haven't we?
Can I talk about my weekend?
Sorry, Tony.
Let's bring
you
back into the picture.
Was it Friday night, Shebex?
Well, it wasn't just Friday night. It started off on Monday night. Baseball, Masters baseball, second last game for the year. I finally get my first pitch ever in baseball. First time ever on the mound. Four pitches I've pitched. They call me the closer now, George. Two strikes.
Give me a spell.
Two strikes, a ball, and a ground out to third base. All over. Fantastic start to my sporting week.
Friday night.
Did you get a phone call from John Deeble at all?
No. But we will be giving him one a little bit later on after the Melbourne Aces, unfortunately,
next
went down on the
weekend.
Next,
he'll be calling himself Robert Redford out of the natural, George.
Correct.
Well, it's a little bit of that.
You're never going to let him get his story out, are you? No. Just let the
That was the start of my sporting week. It then went to Friday night, where I hosted, I emceed a function out at Windy Hill for CJD, which is a disease that I can't even try to pronounce. But very rare, only 30 or so people in Australia each year get this disease, so it's really rare. The guy, Mick Hegarty, who ran the night, his wife died a year or two ago of the disease, and he's decided to try and raise funds for research. On the panel, how esteemed am I? John Nicholls.
Legend.
Absolute Carlton legend, man. As you would know. Bob Skilton.
A legend.
Triple Brownlow medalist.
Correct.
Bob Skilton. Kevin Bartlett.
Never given a handball in his life.
No, correct, and he admits that. Doug Hawkins.
Ah, superstar.
Dancing Dougie.
Yeah.
And Kevin Sheedy.
Oh, man, the ultimate plumber, eh?
That is an incredible lineup, Shebex.
How did you end up there?
We weren't there, though.
I got asked to MC it.
Fantastic.
Isn't that the family?
You're in rare company.
You were brushed, Emma.
And that was the second big thing in my sporting week. My third big thing in my sporting week was playing cricket yesterday for Spotswood.
Hello.
First game for the season. I get called up because the boys were short. 2 for 21 with the ball off 7 overs.
Unbelievable.
He's baseball.
Hang on. Underarm or overarm?
No, overarm.
Okay, fine.
Big week.
Right, okay.
So big is week. There anything that didn't that went awry in your week?
It was a pretty good week so far. It was a very, very good week.
Guys, we got our very first texter in. Very exciting. 5:01 it came in. Didn't take long for him to text. Thank you very much, Davian Cranburn. T-Beck, G-Don, T-Zan, and E-Knot. I love it.
There's the names.
Wow.
That is our rapping
name. We've been branded. The rappers are up.
We should be called the Euro Rap because we've all got a bit of Euro in us, don't we?
Oh, Emma, you've earned your pay packet already.
Yeah, even Siri can't say Shebeki. She goes, Shebisi, Shebisi.
Well, let's have a conversation about how you spelled my name before in your phone.
Yes.
It took about half an hour to exchange
not
emails.
A Francesco. It's not
Firstly,
easy.
Firstly, his mobile is in Greek. You should know that.
Correct.
I
don't need security on my phone. It's in Greek, you see. You have to be able to speak Greek to be able to use
it. You just hold the button down, Siri says, what would you like to say, Yasu? And
Yasu, that's it. No, don't say too many secrets, please. Mr. Zantuck is taking down notes.
How do you pronounce your name? It is N-O-T-T-A.
No, it's not. And it doesn't have an H either. It's really not that difficult.
Where's the H?
Would you like me to spell it out for you?
Please.
Excuse me, in the V8 supercars, what do they call you?
Okay, so not I would love for surname? Someone to come up with
Not a serious
something.
Surname?
No, that's not too bad, though. I like that.
Oh, all right, okay.
One of the boys came up with this, and it's stuck ever since, up and down pit lane. I'll never be known as anything else. Emma, not a real surname. That's fantastic. If you can beat that, please text us.
It's very clever, Em.
It is very clever. I didn't come up with it.
I struggle with Emma, let alone your surname.
You'd struggle with a few things, James.
Oh, is that right, is it?
It's going to be that sort of show.
I hope you can stay with us. And I'd like to say also, we've obviously recognised that we've got a host. His name's Tony Shebeki. We didn't really have this conversation of, like, you know, if someone was going to be hosting.
I was under the impression
that
George
the host.
Danekian was host.
That's what
I
thought.
No,
but he's not sitting in the
high
chair.
I thought to myself, being the oldest guy here, I can just sit back like one of those anchors, so accustomed to being an anchor, and I'll let everyone else play. And you know what? You know what they say? Many, many years ago, it was told to me that the only reason they called us anchors, because at the first sign of trouble, they toss us over the side. So I thought, I don't want to be tossed over the side. So, Shebex, it's all yours.
Thank you. I'll anchor
no
this program.
Go for it, mate.
Before we get into that, let's go to Kathy out of the CBD, who joins us on the line. You can too. 9429 1116. Anytime you want to join in with any of our conversations on any of the sports we bring up, 9429 1116. Go ahead, Kath.
Oh, hi, Tony, George, Emma, and my favourite, Troy.
Oh, Kathy. Oh. Wow.
Jeez. Yeah.
Obviously, you're not a regular listener to SE.
Not a too regular.
I heard about your new show, and I just wanted to wish you all the best.
Thank you.
I know you guys are all great, but I'm super excited that Emma's part of the show.
Wow. Yes, I thought that call was for Troy. Oh,
no.
Thank you so much.
You've got to get your mum to stop ringing up.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathy. That's
dinner on the
fantastic.
Table when I get home. No. Oh, thanks, Kathy. That's really lovely.
Beautiful. Makes a huge difference.
Are you a motorsport fan, Kathy?
Yeah, I love the F1, and it's great having Emma on the show, and she's just talking herself down because she's got amazing knowledge of, you know, V8, F1, and you can see her on TV.
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, we all love the F1s, Kathy. We all love the the F1s, and I love going to the F1s. There's nothing better than what I'm doing.
Kathy, I want to see how the F1s actually shape up now that there's a new boss.
Be interesting.
No more Bernie.
Kathy, are you into supercars? Do you go to any of the meets at all?
Not so much supercars, but I see you love them. But yeah, I just love Ferrari.
Oh, good girl.
Good on you, Kath. Thanks for calling, and don't be a stranger.
No.
Kathy joining us here. Our first
I just wonder if anyone else is going to get
any
calls.
You can listen in on the SEN app on your phone, and wherever your phone goes, SEN can come with you.
It's very easy, isn't it?
I've got friends actually listening to this. Steve Finlayson is actually listening to us from the Radisson Hotel at Shanghai.
Steve!
Where he's been looking after the Brisbane Roar, who've been up there playing Shanghai Shenhua.
And had a good win too.
The Brisbane boys shocked them.
Yeah.
Hey, amazing stuff. So anyway, more about that.
Mates rates, Shanghai,
well,
Radisson.
If you travel up there, I'm sure the boys at the Radisson will look after you. Don't worry.
And also, I must mention, if we're talking about that, we've got a Twitter page too. So please follow us and tweet us at The Ultimate Rap. You say get out, but I'm pretty sure you helped set it up. So you know what I'm talking about.
Talk about Farah.
It's amazing how socially aware Emma is.
Social media.
Yeah. We've got everything. Are you looking forward to this?
Someone gave me a name.
Oh, yeah.
Emma Nota Caprios Capricciosa.
I love it.
That'll be good.
Anything to tell you.
That's very good.
I like it. Thank you. It was Dave again. Thanks, Dave.
You're looking forward to the Formula 1s?
I am indeed. Okay. Are we going to have this conversation? Let's have this conversation.
What conversation?
So this is one of the biggest events. We are lucky enough to have it in Melbourne. Okay. I've been every year ever since it came to Melbourne, Formula 1. Tony is obsessed with Formula 1, let me tell you. But can someone please ask him what he's doing on the weekend of Formula 1 when it comes here in Melbourne?
Tony,
what are you doing, mate?
I'll be in America.
I'm sorry.
Well,
please repeat.
We've got a family holiday coming up for 4 weeks.
Of course.
Family first. You can only take it during March.
Family
first.
Sounds like the Griswolds.
We can only take it during March. So the last 2 weeks of March and the first 2 weeks of April, we'll be in the States, my wife and two kids, and we'll be having a great time. And unfortunately, I'll miss out on the F1s, yes.
We'll be thinking
about it. All right, but I still put it up there with someone having a wedding on Grand Final weekend. You've got to be around for Grand Prix weekend.
He probably thought that there was never going to be a chance to be a contender to do anything special at the Grand Prix.
There is a real reason why I'm going
here
to
we
America.
Go. Okay.
Why
well,
are you
we
going
all
to know that America's got issues at the moment.
This better be good.
This is the reason I'm going to America.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Just getting a bit of Shebeki love.
Between this and Emma's whole new list of names, this show is getting to become a very exciting rap, all right?
I know. I've got an Emma, who are you then?
They're going to come out of everywhere.
That's
I can see
great.
It.
It'll be coming through all day. Guys, we're going to take our first break of the show. When we come back from this break, plenty to look at. We're going to look at George's wrap on what's happened so far in the A-League and the EPL this weekend. Troy's going to bring us up to date with the world of football, Emma with the world of motor racing, and I'll bring you up to date with everything else that's happening in the world of sport. Plenty of interviews as well. John Deeble, the manager of the Melbourne Aces and also Team Australia, to join us. Mark's the Fullest to talk some tennis as well. Richard Crowell will join us with our motor racing wrap. And you just never know what else might happen throughout the program. It is The Ultimate Wrap here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport, with thanks to Jetport Airport Parking and also Northern Motors.
On 1116 SEN, The Ultimate Wrap with Tony Shebeki, George Tanikin, Troy Zanchuk and Emma Nonifrancesco.
20 minutes past 5 with thanks to Jetport Airport Parking. Check out Jetport Parking next time you fly. Their services is a great way to beat those crippling airport prices you encounter every time that you use Telemarine. Jetport have 11 shuttles running 24/7, all designed with one thing in mind, to make sure your trip to and from the airport is as seamless as possible. Staff will help you with your luggage too. And if you need to rent a car or truck, Jetport can help with its connections to Europe Car. So next time you're driving to the airport, the Jetport parking option is the simplest way to get there and back to your car. Check it with Jetport Parking next time before you fly. And what about our great friends at Northern Motoring Group?
Yeah, look, I've got an announcement to make. My good mate Nick and the team at Northern Jeep, which is Australia's number one Jeep dealer, have let me into a bit of a secret. They're actually offering the lowest finance that can't be beaten on all new and demo Jeeps.
Nice.
Plus, here's the kicker, the one I like. It's going to make Emma very, very, very smiley. If you mention my name, they'll actually give you an additional $250 off the drive-away price.
Wow.
So go see the team at Northern Jeep. They're at Grimshaw Street in Bundoora.
Fantastic. What have they what have they mentioned Emma's name? They pay.
They'll probably walk out.
They pay $250.
They'll probably force her to become a Melbourne City family member.
For approved applicants only, terms and conditions apply. Offer ends on the 28th of Feb, LMCT 6595.
Let's I love it when you do all that special code stuff.
Well, you've got to do all that. You've got to do it. Yeah, it's all
is
there.
That right? Sort of.
He loves his LMCTs, the Shebex.
I do very much.
Well,
so
I'll tell you who will be very happy. Nick will be sitting there going, that's my boy.
Beautiful. Good on you, Nick. Lovely. And thank you for coming on board. The Oates Victorian Open is on at the moment down at 13th Beach. And down there for us is our good mate Larry Canning at the Vic Open. Larry, it's been a very, very exciting finish coming up.
Very dramatic finish, Shebex. And g'day, Emma. G'day, George, and g'day, Troy.
G'day, mate. G'day.
Larry.
Yeah, you covered it all.
What sort of studio is that?
Huge.
It's a pretty
huge
studio you're in.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like the the Starship Enterprise, Larry. It's huge.
But apparently the finish down there is getting very, very, very exciting.
Very dramatic. We're into a sudden-death playoff, Shebex. It's Sandra Gall and the German player and Melissa Reed, the English woman. Tied for the lead at 16 under par after 72 holes. They are in a playoff, in a sudden death playoff. We have Melissa Reed just short of the... It's a par 5. They're playing the 18th here at 13th Beach. And Reed is just short of the green in 2, having a good look up. So up to the green, the pin's tucked in behind a bunker, and she has a good look right at the face of the green. Sandra Gall not in such a good position. She's right way back. She's about 60 metres short in 2. Has a bunker to come over. The wind's coming from the right. A short pin. It's a nasty shot for Gal, but she's a classy player, obviously, to get to this
point.
This is match
play, mate. This is the way it works, doesn't it? Like, all exciting stuff.
It virtually is match play now, guys. Yeah. But Melissa Reed has just been an absolute bulldog, British bulldog of all sorts. I mean, she was held the lead by 2 shots overnight to start a play. She bogeyed her second hole, double bogeyed her third hole, dropped off the leaders board completely, fought her way back, just would not go away. Beautiful birdie on the 16th, and now is holding all the advantages here on this 18th hole. The men's side of things, Demetrios, speaking of Greek, I heard you were talking Greek names before. Demetrios Papadatos, it doesn't get any more Greek than that, guys.
That's true.
Well, he's the men's Victorian Open winner. He shot 16 under par. In the finish, it was a bit of a cruise in. He only had to par the par 5, to win by 2 strokes. It was pretty tight during the back 9. With he and Lucas Herbert, the 21-year-old Victorian.
I think they're calling him Jimmy the Great now, aren't they? No, that is. Dimitrios is Jimmy. Jimmy the Great.
There you go.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I'm at the United Nations, Larry.
You ask the ultimate rap, we'll give it to you, Larry.
I think I saw him in a Gladiator movie. I swear I did.
Hey, Larry, just back to the women. Who's the girl that's wearing the the purple top? I'm fortunate enough to be watching...
Sandra Gall from Germany.
I'm watching the live stream here on the website as we talk to you, and she has got one of the biggest scarves wrapped around her neck I've ever seen in my life. Is it a bit cool down there?
Isabel Duncan had a similar problem.
It is freezing today. Yeah, it's supposed to be 18 degrees. It's one of those feels-like days. It feels like about 14 with a really strong southwesterly wind coming, which is completely different. The first 3 days were absolutely perfect. And actually, Gall's over a shot now. She's looking... I think she's aiming straight at the flag. She probably needs to with Melissa Reed in such a strong position, just short of the green, and with a chip up the green. So she's aiming straight at the flag with something
looking
like
to make
sandwich.
A statement. Looking to make a statement with his shot.
It looks like it's a pretty good-looking shot. If it's up, if it's over the bunker, fantastic shot. Brilliant
that's quality.
Shot. Yeah,
that's quality.
That is quality. She's a quality player. She has won the USPGA Tour. And is considered, she's one of those, they do the calendars every year.
Yeah,
beautiful-looking golf pro. Look, I'm not a
Troy just looked up.
They do it every year. And
Jan Stevenson used to do one on their own.
Jan come to mind. Those calendars were.
I'm waiting.
Those calendars.
I'm waiting for the senior tour player one. I'm waiting for that to come out. That should be out pretty soon.
Shouldn't be too far away.
Gal's about 8 feet short now. Reed with this in perfect position to chip up the slope. This means a lot to Reed because she's had some tough times of late. She was actually, her mother was killed in a car accident. They used to travel as a team on the European Tour, where she's won 5 times just quietly. But her mother was killed in a car accident in Germany when not playing in the German Open. That was a couple of years ago, and Reed has kind of lost her way after that. She burst onto the scene a few years ago as a brilliant young player and hasn't done much in the last couple of years. So a win here would be gold for her. And plus, this is a European Tour co-sanctioned event, so it will give her exemption for the next 2 years. Pitching up the green now. Oh, a long way short, yeah. Very, is there a bit of nerve creeping in? Yeah, it could
pressure,
be.
Pressure.
So, yeah, pressure. She has it now from about 15 feet. I'm talking feet and inches because of my age. Sorry, guys.
No, that's all right. So, so the situation is
as you speak.
Well, let's talk about the situation as it stands then, Larry. So we've got Reed, who's a fair way away from the hole and will need to sink this putt. Otherwise, Gail just needs to sink in her one putt and she'll win.
That's correct, yeah. They're both putting straight up the hill. They can both give it a hit, which is good. But, yeah, disappointing chip shot from Reed. She wouldn't be happy with that, leaving it that far short. And Gail definitely has the advantage back. But
Larry, this is where drama can actually just take another level, because we've seen golfers overseas time and time again. You write them off and along comes in a remarkable shot and you just see them bouncing around the green in delirium. So it's not beyond her, is it? She can hold it.
Is that you, George?
Yes, it is.
That is the most perfect voice still.
Thank you, sir.
That's a
gentleman.
Sensational voice you have, mate. But you're very right. That's exactly what it is. Got to keep the voice down a little bit now. She's not far off where she's putting from. Over the putt now. It's probably coming a little bit from the right to left. She'll need to give it a bit of a hit to get it up that hill into the wind. Doesn't mess around. Melissa's hit it. I think she likes it. She's looking. Oh, caught the bottom lip. Beautiful putt's missed. Opportunity miss from Reed. And I think the chip shot was the problem with the par she's going to make.
Oh, gee, we're running about 20 seconds behind you because of the live stream. No, that's okay. And we just saw the shot then. Literally missed by millimetres. Ran the edge of the cup.
I tell you guys, as I said earlier, she just has not gone away, this girl. She's an absolute Trojan horse. Absolute river. Beautiful golf swing.
So big Very opportunity now for Gail, isn't there? If she sinks this one,
Sandra
she'll win.
Gail, now from 8 feet, same line as Rick. On that Reed. A little bit from the right to left, up the hill into the wind. Taking a bit of time to work out which way it's going, adjusting a scarf.
A big scarf.
It is some scarf, isn't it?
Every chance of her choking with that scarf. We don't want to see that.
She's got a tattoo or something she's hiding.
Hey, we should mention too, Larry, just great crowds looking at the pictures. Fantastic crowds around the green.
It's been a great event, Shebex. It's been an absolute ripper. It just grows each year. This is my third year down here, and every time I come here, I'm more and more impressed. And now that it's been given a shot in the financial arm by the Victorian government, to the point where we're now playing for $500,000 for the men and the boys.
Yeah.
It really is a first-rate event. It's probably one of the players' favourite events of the year, I'd say.
And the course looks, in really good nick, doesn't it?
Back at the ball. Very slow, easy-looking stroke. I think she likes it. No, it's missed on the right. More holes, guys. How much time we got? How long does your show go for?
We go for another hour and a half, Larry, so we might come back to you.
Yeah. All right, mate.
We'll let them tee up on the next, and we'll come back to you as they get close to the green for their... What's the next hole? Is it the 17th they go back to?
They play the 18th again.
The 18th again, okay. They'll go back to the tee and start this one all over again. Larry Canning bringing us all the action coming down from 13th Beach, and exciting action it is too with these two girls, Gail and Reed, the German and the English woman. Playing off for the winner of the Victorian Women's Open.
And so appropriate for the Ultimate Wrap, yeah?
First
program of the season. And we've got the final round and the final holes. And it's neck and neck.
And you copped a great rap off Larry with the dulcet tones of George Smekian. Yeah. Not missing a
He's
beat.
He's very sweet. Yeah. Very
Speaking
sweet.
Of Ultimate Wraps, do you want to give us one on what's happening in the world of football?
It's a bit of a rap and also a bit of a rant.
Perth
Glory started off the weekend round playing away from home, and they look like to be peaking in the right time of the season. They took all the points against the Premiers, Adelaide. They beat them 5-0. Thank you very much. Mm. For the Reds, I think their domestic season is well and truly over, but they can still give a lift to their fans. That's if they set out and do something positive when they embark on this tilt at the AFC Champions League next week. They've done it before. They've succeeded in Asia while failing at home. And I think they might, under a Moore, be able to, you know, sort of gather into themselves and make a real fist of it. At least that's what I'm hoping. By the way, before I go to the next item here, I just want to say I am still shaking my head after the clash last night between Melbourne City and Brisbane Roar at Amy Park. It was a tough night for both sides. I've got to say, City had to make 8 changes. Yes, 8 to its starting lineup from last week, following a spate of suspensions and injuries. Okay, some of those self-induced, but
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. Eight changes, huge effort. Brisbane, of course, playing its second game in 3 days after qualifying for the group stages of the AFC Champions League with a 2-0 win over the Chinese powerhouse Shanghai Shenhua away from home. That was a mighty effort. This is the very same team that has the Argentinian superstar Carlos Tevez.
Amazing.
Who's been paid about $54 million to play in China. So well done to Brisbane. But let's come back to the A-League game. Two penalties were awarded in the match at Amy Park last night by the referee, and they weren't penalties. I'm not going to sit on the fence. They weren't. The decisions were as poor, in fact, so poor, both coaches, and you don't see both coaches come out and say they were pretty poor efforts, both of them. Huh? In fact, the refereeing decisions throughout the whole game made me wonder if the A-League had actually done an AFL, yeah, and changed the rules before the season started, making it touch football. I really can't believe it. And the sting in all of this, the one incident that actually deserved a penalty and a yellow card to boot, didn't result in either decision.
Implausible, George.
Yeah, I would have said
is that walking dictionary?
Yeah, find another word quickly. Go on.
Incomprehensible.
Yeah, you're getting warm.
Inconceivable.
Okay. Midway through the opening half, the Roar's Corey Brown, who was a terrific defender, he shoved City's Anthony Caceres in the back in the penalty area, no less. And guess what?
He no penalty.
Nothing. Not even a free kick. Not even a yellow card. Nothing. I was absolutely incredulous. Now, call me a City man, call me one-eyed, but if it happened to your team, you'd be incensed. Referees are meant to help control the match, not impact the result. But I suppose I shouldn't be surprised, as it's been happening to varying degrees for all the clubs throughout the season. I think, though, at the end of the day, it needs to be addressed. The sooner, the better. Currently, the Wanderers are playing the Central Coast Mariners at Spotless. And victory, of course, tomorrow will be travelling to the Hunter Stadium to play the Newcastle Jets. That's the A-League virtually wrapped up there.
While we're talking about A-League, just quickly,
we have to
mention this because it was called the worst own goal you'll ever see by La Roca the other night.
Well, he went with his head, but it ended up hitting his shoulder.
Oh, they went down after about 15 minutes because of that.
It's the sort of thing you don't want to see at home. And I suppose it didn't help them. That's why they finished 5-0 down.
And, of course, they don't have their captain at the moment either. So they're struggling.
Look, they've had a really
rough season.
Mucked around season. But, look, they were premiers last year and they played brilliantly. In the off-season, they lost a crop of players. And it should be also noted that Amor was overseas at the time. When he came back, suddenly he saw a different squad. And they've had injuries galore. It hasn't been easy. But we don't like making excuses. They've got
no,
a chance
because
how
many players of City are out at the moment?
Yeah, a lot.
Seven suspensions last week.
Would it have
so?
Been
so
a case of La Roca looking for a Barocca after the game?
Well, I saw him after
He's
the game
not
talking
just a
to Amor, and there would have been a whole pack of Baroccas about to be consumed.
But the fall from grace, George, is quite incredible. Guillemot taking them to the title last year and... As you said, they're the cellar dwellers. They're sitting on the bottom. But how can they fall that far in such a short period of time?
Let me just turn that around a little bit. Think AFL for a moment, right? You tell me now if I changed eight players in the Hawthorn side, not three, not five, but eight, yeah? And half the team didn't come in to do a pre-season, what would their chances be like to come back to make a real effort? Under Clarkson, a super coach, they'd make a pretty good fist of it, but they wouldn't be in the form that you've been expecting of that side for the last 3 or 4 years. And that's basically what happened. The A-League is still in its infancy. People saying, it's 12 years old. We're still learning, and those sides are still coming to grips with how many players you should bring in and how long it takes you to turn a side around.
26 minutes down in the A-League match between Western Sydney Wanderers and Central Coast. Nil all the score at the moment.
And we've still got a great W League Grand Final coming up. So it's
we
a big
have two
weekend.
Tonight, yeah.
And we've got City, who've been out of sorts all season. But what a terrific effort from the Melbourne City girls. Jess Fishlock, who's now taken over as coach. Yeah. Steph Catley, the captain. They've all got up there and they've said, no, we've had a terrible start, but we can come back. And here they are in the grand final. I'm very, very proud of them.
Back to
whatever happens, I'm thrilled to bits. And on the other side, Glory, with young Sam Kerr, who's Daniel Kerr's sister, And boy, is she a talent. Wow.
A Matilda.
But not only a Matilda, I reckon this young woman can be the next Matilda captain. She's just so talented.
EPL?
Okay, let me go. Overseas, Liverpool at home. Yeah, all right, the Liverpool fans will be laughing right now. Well, they came out of the blocks playing this super high-tempo brand of football that's pretty hard to counter, especially if you clock off early, as my Tottenham Hotspur boys did last night. I was not happy. The Reds' Sadio Mane, who hasn't been available to the side because he's had to play in the African tournament, was lethal in front of goal. Scored twice. as far as I was concerned, the game was over at halftime. So Liverpool winning that game 2-0. Klopp won, Pochettino 0. That was the effort everyone was talking about. They thought the coaches would decide the game early with their tactics. Well, Klopp, playing at home,
he's
did the right thing.
A great character, George Klopp, isn't he? He's very demonstrative and...
Well, he's actually the ultimate...
Feisty.
He's the ultimate sort of modern manager, yeah? He knows how to handle the media, knows how to handle the players, and he's got all those lovely things about him. But I've got to say, the luckiest team in the EPL, still in my book, is Arsenal. Yeah, two handballs, either end of the game, and Arsenal gets up and win. And on it goes. There are a succession of results overnight that surprised. Southampton impressive by thumping Sunderland 4-0. Everton, who has been on a hot streak, ran into Middlesbrough and couldn't score. Manchester United finished off Watford. West Ham, West Bromwich finished 2-2. Stoke actually beat Crystal Palace. If your name is Sam Allardyce and they call you the man to bring in to avoid relegation, he must be thinking to himself, somewhere along the line, I've lost the formula because he just can't get a toehold here. City have a really big chance. I'm talking about Manchester City to jump back into the second spot. That's if they can overcome Bournemouth away from home tonight. And for the reigning premiers, namely Leicester, they're actually fighting for survival.
Incredible.
Can you believe it? Hey? What a journey.
You were talking about a team that's gone down so quickly.
There you go.
No team has ever gone down a year after winning the title in Premier League.
I think they did, but it would have been about 1930.
Yeah, so
it wasn't a Premier League. It would have been the old First
exactly.
Division.
Yeah, exactly.
English
exactly.
League.
But again, it's a perfect storm, Em and George and Tone, that they've lost players who have lost form and the other teams, the big four.
Yep. And some of the other players have also have gotten too much money and maybe forgotten that they have to work.
Hey, guys, we've got to get back to 13th Beach. Larry Canning brought
Larry's
us
there,
by Srixon, dedicated to improving our game. The girls are just about on the green or are on the green. Larry, are you there?
I am here. Yes, thanks, Shebex. It's both girls have hit beautiful shots just short of this green. They've both got a good chip right at the face of the green. Gald going first with a sand wedge from about 40 metres up over a tee. She struck it. It looks like it's the goods. It's spinning. Ah, oh, it's just grabbed a little too much for it. Pull up about 12 or 10 feet short of the flag. Not unlike the putt she had about 10 minutes ago, too, for an outright victory. We'll see. Melissa Reed hit two magnificent shots. She's not a very big girl, but she is way stronger. One of the strongest players in the field. And she was unlucky. Her second shot rolled up onto the green, and it's a full front and rolled all the way back down off the green again. So she's in exactly the same position she was 10 minutes ago. She's choosing a putter. She's going to putt up the slope. It's a very slow putt indeed. I mean, the wind is howling straight into the top hill over two tiers. She's given it a crack, but it's not going to be anywhere near enough. It's way short again. Well, she'd be disappointed with those two putts she's hit from the same position. That's got to be 18 feet short, and it pretty well the same putt she had 10 minutes ago. So they're not in dissimilar situations as they were.
Both tension.
Gal 10 feet, Reed, I'd say 18 feet.
Yeah, it's all that tension in the arms, huh?
Just hang in there for one sec, Larry. George, have you done you finalised your rap?
Oh, look, all I was going to say was that Conte's man, that is the coach of Chelsea, must be sitting back and thinking to himself, how good is this caper in the EPL? All we've got to do is go to Burnley tomorrow and win. And no one will run us down. And in his first season in the English Premier League, you've got to think to yourself, the former coach of Italy will have notched up his and Emma's beaming. Hey, the old DNA deep inside is running loose. She's thinking, Conte. Look, Chelsea, I reckon it's for them to lose.
Yeah.
That's how far ahead they are. Awesome
pretty
stuff.
Pretty spot on. Good on you, George. Thank you for your football wrap for this week. Let's head back to Larry Canning with thanks to Srixon, dedicated to improving your game. Larry, the girls are about to putt out again on the 18th second playoff hole.
breed moving into a putt now, Shebex. Yeah, as I said, it's exactly the same as she had earlier. It's going to move about 6 to 8 inches from her right, straight up the hill. It's got a good firm hit. And she has done. I think she likes it a lot better. Oh, just rimmed this inside of the cup yet again, exactly the same. She has now not more than about 14 inches for her par. Now it's back to Sandra Gill, who's behind the hole, lining her putt up.
You're right, exactly the same, but on the other side of the hole this time, wasn't it?
No, same side.
Same side, okay.
Both putting straight up the hill.
Sorry, she missed on the right of the hole.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
And this
yes.
time was the left. So she just maybe adjusted too much.
We're going to call Larry Whispering Larry Canny from now on.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
Is anyone else in the studio old enough to remember Full Frontal?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
I actually remember that.
Can't help
Emma,
you, Larry.
Emma has seen it on replay.
How did you feel about that, George?
Let's not go there.
Okay.
Some memories have seared themselves.
Are we talking about Vizard's work?
Yes.
Am I too loud, though?
No.
So sorry, how old are you now, George?
Yes, old enough to know better.
I'm sorry, George. We were getting along really well.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
Last time.
Is that Tom Baker's scarf from Doctor Who?
It could be. Actually, is that big? It's the biggest scarf I've ever seen.
Very good.
Straight up.
Nice pickup, Troy.
Thank you.
For an outright victory.
All right.
Her first on the European tour, even though it's in Australia. It's 8 feet coming from the right. Nice firm strike.
Come on, knock this in, girl.
Looks good. Oh, my Lord, that you cannot imagine how that didn't go in. It's missed.
Hang on, we're about to see it now, Larry. Here it comes. There it is. How's it?
Yeah, we're watching the replay. The streaming is a few seconds
just
behind the
play. That's right, guys. I don't need to see the screen. I'm right over here.
Larry, we'll leave that with you and come back.
Okay,
I'm assuming that the English girl, hang on, we better just wait just in case she misses. Because Gail's just sunk her putt.
From 14 inches.
If you had a 14-inch putt that you hated, this would be it. Straight downwind, straight downhill.
To tie a championship.
To
stay in the playoff.
Larry, can you remember the US Open that was lost by a guy when he backhanded a putt from about 2 or 3 inches? And
That was a British Open. That was Hale Irwin.
Was it Hale Irwin?
It was a British Open.
Amazing. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Ladies and gentlemen, back
to the 18th. There we go. We heard it.
There we go.
Larry, back with you shortly. Larry Canning's going to stick with us down there at 13th Beach until this one is all over.
Larry's getting some serious overtime in Shebex. He's doing beautifully.
He is.
We might make him a permanent member of the Ultimate Rap Crew.
Em's got a few texts to read out over there, Em.
Just some very nice people texting some very nice things. Hey, guys, having a quiet Sunday listening to you guys, and I'm enjoying what I'm listening to. Thank you, John from Heidelberg West. And, of course, it's turned into the Emma Show because everyone's texting in about my surname. Can't have that every single
time. Emma, not a bad sport. I love that.
No, it was not a bad sort.
Sort.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Emma, not a bad sport.
Yeah. Thanks, George.
There you go. Not at all.
Keep the text coming through.
We will. 942 9 11 16 if you want to give us a call. 0433 98 11 16 if you want to send us a text. We're going to take a break. When we come back, plenty more on the Ultimate Wrap to come your way.
On 11.16 SEN, the Ultimate Wrap with Tony Shebeki, George Tanikian, Troy Santuck and Emma Nonifrancesco.
It is the Ultimate Wrap. Thanks for joining us. Our first show today, 5 to 7 this week, because between 7 and 8 we've got a very special interview coming up on 11.16 SEN. Tonight it is going to be Mark
Anthony
Allen.
Anthony Mundine.
And also Tony Sheen talking to Anthony Mundine for the hour. So
is it Anthony Mundine and Danny Green? Or just
No, just Mundine.
Just Anthony.
Yeah, just Anthony on his own. He'll be here and catching up with, as we said, Tony Sheen and Mark Allen between 7 and 8. And then between 8 and 9, it's Zappers and
the
Dave Vudovic, the world of football. And
they'll be able to give us the lowdown on the women's grand final.
For sure.
They certainly will.
They'll have an interesting take. I'd like to hear their comments too on the refereeing has been showcased this weekend.
I'm sure they will have their thoughts.
Before
we get to Emma's wrap, I've got to say that our friends at Northern Jeep have...
What have they done?
Well, they're the number one Jeep dealers. And they've let me in on a little secret, George.
What are they
They're offering the lowest finance that can be beaten on all new and demo Jeeps. Plus, if you mention the name George Danikin to the boys at Northern Jeep, they'll give you an extra $250, an additional $250 off the drive-away price. Go and see the team at Northern Jeep, Grimshaw Street in Bundoora. Approved applicants only. Terms and conditions apply. Offer ends 28th of Feb, LMCT 6595.
Gee, I like the way you do all that sort of stuff, that little added stuff at
He's
the
very
end.
Professional.
You think he'd been in radio before.
Yeah, he's
and, of course, our great friends at Jetport Airport Parking. They're setting the new standard for long-term and short-term parking in Melbourne's Tullamarine airports.
In fact, why don't you check out Jetport Parking next time you fly? Their service is a great way to beat those crippling airport prices that you encounter every time you use Tullamarine these days. Oh. Jetport have 11 shuttles running 24/7, and it's designed for one thing in mind, to make your trip to and from the airport as seamless as possible. Staff is actually fantastic.
And they do.
Yeah, they'll carry all your luggage for you.
I park there all the time, and this is no crap. I'm always parked, because I used to be a part of Europe Car Park, which then became Jetport.
Correct. And on the subject of Europe Car, their connections are so good. If you want to rent a car or a truck, you've just arrived in town, see them. Jetport Car Parking, they're terrific. Next time you're driving to the airport, think Jetport Parking. That's the ultimate option, the simplest way to get there and back to your car.
That would have helped me out today.
Yeah.
Would have had time to have a shower and wash my hair, boys.
Think Jetport.
Emma just got back from Sydney.
And the first thing that he said when he saw me was, "You look like you've been on a plane, wearing plane clothes."
Oh, the plane
I'm wearing a glittery top, for starters.
What's said in the green room stays in the green room, Em.
Let's get into Emma's...
I've got to ask a question.
Yeah, quick.
Have you washed your hair?
Don't upset
her. I've not had time to wash my hair. I got here on time, so either I was late with nice hair or I was on time with dirty hair. What would you prefer? It's
on
my
time.
Turn.
Your
it's
turn.
My turn.
Go.
I'm getting pointed at. All right,
Emma, not a fan.
Stop pointing.
That's right. I just got back from the drift cars. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but... plenty happening in the world of motorsport. First in Formula One, Sebastian Vettel had the very first crash of the 2017 season during Ferrari's wet tyre test on Friday. And it seems that Sauber have jumped the queue and will be the very first to reveal their new car this season. The first images are to be released next Monday. Very exciting. Lots of news from the Supercars camp. This week was the official launch of the 2017 Virgin Australia Supercars Championship.
So this is all the new livery. We get to see everything.
Yeah. Yes, some have rolled
new
out.
Drivers.
Yeah, still plenty to come.
What did you make of it?
Look well,
good?
I wasn't there, but it looked fantastic.
Okay.
I didn't get the invite, George.
Well, they will. Hey, next
Crowley
time.
Will tell us all about it. We're going to be speaking to Richard Crowell very shortly.
Okay.
But some big news that did come from the day, George, was the announcement that Delta Goodrum will be the official ambassador for the 2017 season. What are your thoughts on that?
She was born to try.
Yes, she was, Troy.
Has she got a supercar license?
No.
Does she ever come super license? No? Something else we'll
she's
talk about.
She's playing Olivia Newton-John in the upcoming
is she really?
ONJ movie, isn't
and
she?
She's also in House Husbands.
I think you're right.
She's doing a bit of everything.
Yeah.
But good to have her on board. Yeah. An exciting year for supercars all round, with the first ever female becoming full-time driver. Simona Di Silvestro has signed for 3 years. That's old news. But last week, her livery was revealed, and she'll be racing in the Nissan Altima, carrying the red and white colours of Harvey Norman. Of course, they were with her for the past two.
Red and white, they're the away colours for Melbourne City, boys and girls.
A great supporter of that particular sponsorship is Katie Page, who is
CEO
of Harvey Norman
exactly
and
right.
wife of
Jerry Harvey.
Jerry Harvey.
There you go.
She's in good company.
Now, this has been a huge talking point this week, boys. The youngest driver in supercars history will make his debut this year. Alex Rullo has signed with Lucas Dumbrell Motorsport at only 16 years of age. Their other entry was going to be 23-year-old Mats Charter, until he was denied the chance to race after not qualifying for the CAMS super license. This is what we've been talking about. As I said, a huge talking point. Now, in a nutshell, and those that may not know about this, the CAMS super license was introduced last year, where you qualify based on points. Now, there was a minimum of 13 points that needed to be accrued in a 5-year period. And even their CEO, James
Through, what,
Warburton,
through the different divisions
through
of
different
racing?
Divisions,
so for winning something, you get this.
CEO James Warburton has even said that this structure needs to be reviewed. So people have obviously been questioning why one driver qualified and the other one doesn't. This has been huge talk up and down pit lane all week. To chat to us more about it is a great friend of mine, and you may know his name because he helped the TV ratings for the Bathurst 12 Hour, one of the commentators for that, knows the ins and outs of the sports supercars. Richard Crowell joins us on the line. Hey, Crowsey.
Hi, Em. How are you?
Good. Did you like my little intro?
Very nice, thank you. Certainly good team. Like the show. Very cool.
Thanks for listening, Crowsey. Listen, as I said, this has been a huge talking point all week. What's your take on the situation, and do you think Matty should have qualified?
It's a really, really difficult one, and it's one of the more controversial topics we've probably faced in the sport, because there's never been, until the last 12 months, like you said, a mandatory licensing process to go through to race in the toughest category in Australia. And The reason that was implemented was to ensure that the standard of driver in the category was at a high level. So in a similar way, I suppose, it would be like two players going through the AFL draft, both players getting drafted by clubs, but the AFL going, one player can play, but the other one can't because we don't think you're quite experienced enough. So it's a very, very difficult, touchy subject, and it's one we're going to hear a lot on. And I suppose it's down to how we've seen the two young drivers progress through their junior careers. And though Alex Rullo is only 16 and will be the youngest ever driver in the series, which is a remarkable record, his development has been extremely rapid through the junior ranks, and he's been quite impressive. Matt Charter probably hasn't had the profile and perhaps hasn't had the experience and also the machinery to show what he's capable of. So there's an argument that, yes, he does need more seat time before he progresses in. But, gee, it's a difficult one. And I wouldn't want to be Lucas Dumbro Motorsport or Supercars or Cams, for that matter, trying to sort through all of this.
You talk about experience. It kind of reminds me of going back to when Verstappen, 17 years of age, youngest Formula One driver. A lot of people were saying, well, he's inexperienced. And he was even last year scrutinised a lot for his, you know, aggressive attacking style, you know, during racing, and people were saying he's still too young, he's still too experienced. Do you think that Alex is too young? Do you think he's ready for the big league?
I don't think Alex is too young. No, I don't. But it's interesting, isn't it? I like the Max Verstappen analogy, because the FIA, the governing body for world motorsport, which our governing body, CAMS, works to the same set of rules and reports to them, they changed their rules after Verstappen came in and said, he was too young, we're going to make Formula One 18 years and over. You have to be 18 now before you can get in. So Verstappen will forever be, unless they change the rules in the future, the youngest ever Formula One driver. So I'm wondering if that might be something we end up having in supercars, where they actually put a minimum age requirement in, as well as this point system that they've got. That might make it a little bit easier, because the controversy hasn't been, is Alex Rullo up to the job? It's been, he was granted an exception and Matt Charter, the other driver, wasn't. So how have the governing body gone through and decided that? That's where the controversies come between those two drivers.
All right, Krause, thanks for your time, mate. Really do appreciate it, as always. Look forward to catching up with you right throughout the year as our motor racing correspondent here for the Ultimate Wrap. And we'll also see you in a few weeks' time at Clipsal, buddy.
Mike, pleasure, boys. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Richard Crowell, joining us. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Ultimate Wrap in just a tick.
On 11.16 SEN, the Ultimate Wrap with Tony Shabecki, George Tanikin, Troy Zantuck and Emma Nonifrancesco.
With thanks to Jetport Airport Parking, setting the new standard for long-term and short-term parking in Melbourne's Tullamarine Airport, and also our great friends out there at Northern Motors Group in Bundoora. Get out to Northern Jeep. Ask for an additional $250.
Yeah, drop my name in there. They
the
say.
Driveway price for a demo Jeep, new and used demo Jeeps, if you just mention George Tanikin's name, Northern Jeep, Grimshaw Street in Bundoora.
If you can remember George Tanikin's name.
Larry Canning, before we get to the 6 o'clock news, mate, you've got 40 seconds. Bring us up to date.
Oh, it's got very untidy here, guys. The bottom line is Mel Reid now has it from 2.5 feet for a victory, and it's in. She's made it. Oh, wow. It's over. That was actually for a par, believe it or not. A par has won this hole. The wind has really kicked up. They've struggled to play this last hole. Sandra Gell hit a terrible drive and had to lay up way short, pulled the third shot, and didn't get it up and down for a par. Ah, there comes the champagne all over Melissa Reid. She's a deserved winner. As I said earlier, the British Bulldog, a fantastic girl, and deserves every bit of this victory. So she is the 2017 Victorian Open champion. Dimi Papadatos is the men's Victorian Open champion for this year, guys.
I've got the headline for you. Read all about it, Larry.
Oh, very good.
Larry Canning, brought to you by Srixon.
He is too dedicated to improving your game. Thank you so much, Larry, for the afternoon. 6 o'clock news upon us. We'll take that and be back with more of the Ultimate Wrap in just a tick.
On 11.16 SEN, the Ultimate Wrap with Tony Shabecki, George Tanikin, Troy Zantuck and Emma Nonifrancesco.
6:05 here on the Ultimate Wrap, 11.16 SEN.
We just got a fabulous little message come up on the screen there. What? Come on, Em.
We did. This is
we've been asking
to
people
to
get in touch with us
and
tell us what they think the rappers' names should be on the show, right? And we've had Emma, Not a Bad Sport,
yeah?
And what's the latest version?
Well, if you missed it before, we were all talking about how apparently I look like I've just come off a plane because I didn't wash my hair.
So but you have.
Thank you very much to Hazy from Reservoir for this one. Emma, not a fan of shampoo. Love it.
Like that.
Love it.
But I like the way you're so honest, Em.
I am. Honesty is the best policy, mate.
Yeah. No, but it's you didn't shampoo your hair.
We need a shampoo sponsor to come
on board.
Quite
frankly, if you didn't tell us, we seriously wouldn't have known.
Hey, guys.
You know
of
what?
Of course, our great friends out at Northern Motors are proud sponsors of the Ultimate Wrap. We thank them for coming on board out there in Bundoora and also Jetport Parking, setting the new standard for long-term and short-term parking at Melbourne's Tullamarine Airport. Gentlemen, my the bad part of my sporting weekend was unfortunately last night.
You're still talking about his weekend.
No.
You're still talking about it. It
started an hour ago. I haven't even finished my rap. Finish my rap.
You did. You moved on. You've gone to the news.
I was enjoying your rap, Em, just quietly. But we're back to the Shebexter.
The Brisbane Bandits defeating the Melbourne Aces 3-1 to claim back-to-back ABL championships last night. Kramer Champlin had one of the best starts all season on Saturday night at the ballpark.
So what you're saying is he saved it just for the whole season.
Yeah, he did, and had his best game for the season, giving up just one hit throughout seven innings. And striking out four, the Aces had a chance to win it in the eighth. They had three players, all bases loaded, and unfortunately two outs wrapped up that innings and they weren't able to bring anyone home. Tell us more about it. And I suppose to talk to us about the disappointment of losing an ABL championship, we speak to the manager of the Melbourne Aces and also the head coach of the Team Australia, which will be in the World Baseball Classic. John Deeble joins us on the line. G'day, John.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you going?
Fantastic, mate. Probably a little bit better than you are. Well, having said that, though, a bit flat after last night. It was disappointing to see, but what a great effort by the boys to get to where they did this year.
Yeah, look, it was very disappointing. And I think the hardest part is we finished so far ahead in first place at the end of the season.
Seven games clear, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think if you sort of sit in second or third, it's a sort of an easier pill to swallow. But look, at the end of the day, we were sort of overmatched, I think. But as you said, we had our chances to win that game last night for sure, and we had bases loaded with one out and struck out twice, which was disappointing. But look, at the end of the day too, you know, we were able to blood a lot of young kids. We had a 15-year-old kid on our roster that played for most of the year. We had four 19-year-olds, three 20-year-olds, and we had two 17-year-olds. So it was as bad as it, the thought of us losing, that, you know, there were some real bright lights. And, you know, they had seven imports on their team and we had four. And, you know, partly due to a lot of our imports had gone home for different reasons that were out of our control. And, you know, that really hurt us at the end. And I think, you know, if you look at the NBL basketball, you know, with a team that's got seven imports and another team that's got four, it's a pretty significant change. And, look, we knew that going in. But, you know, we also thought that if we could win this with just four imports, it would be a major achievement.
John Deeble, George Danekian, can I just say that what you've done all year has been mighty. The Melbourne Aces have been out of sorts for the last couple of years, and you've bounced back this year, and as you alluded to, finished seven in front. And the night that we came and saw you guys play, not only did you turn on a terrific performance, especially winning in the ninth, which was just mighty stuff, but the entertainment value and the people who rolled up created a terrific atmosphere. And you've got to be commended for that. And to all those people who come and support the club, I'm talking about sponsors, they should also be smiling and thinking, okay, next year, there's next year.
Yeah, look, I think that, and that was the feedback from everybody, and, you know, we have to thank Jet Couriers, Brett Ralph, who owns Jet Couriers, who's our major sponsor. Like, even last night, you know, the fireworks that was on display there throughout the game and at the end of the game, you know, they had those dogs doing tricks out on the field, that big motorcycle parade, and you know, it's a great family entertainment, and I thought it was an amazing night last night. The only thing that didn't top it off was us winning. So, but look, I agree, George. It was throughout the year. You know, we've been in last place every year, and you know, we've turned that round. And you know, there's a thought too. You know, you've got to lose one before you win one sometimes. And I think that you know, it's going to make us bigger and stronger and better for next year.
Speaking of winning and losing, I've been practicing. Ceremonial first pitch next time, I'm going to break that speed radar. I reckon I can get it up to 35 mile an hour.
I reckon there'll need to be a major improvement from the last one, mate.
Oh, thanks. Hey, I managed to hit the catcher. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but hang on. You're nothing like me on Monday night. Oh, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, John. But
hello, the Tony Shebeki
show. They now call me the closer, playing Masters for Essendon. Four pitches at the end of the game, two strikes, a ball, and a ground out third. It was all over. I finished the game.
Save us, John, please, save us.
I tell you what, I get all the mail from the Jet Courier boys who are playing for Sunshine. I get all the mail on everyone's performances, and Tony, yours has not been, you know, on my scouting report with my job. I don't think we'll be signing you anytime soon, mate.
No, I totally understand that. Even though I do play MLB, which is Masters League Baseball. I totally understand.
I heard it was up there with John Howard's bowling effort in India.
No, wasn't that bad. John, before we let you go, just very quickly, focus now turns on Australia's effort in the World Baseball Classic. The team was announced during the week, a strong Australian team that's going to go over to Japan to take on Japan, China and Cuba.
Yes, so I'm possibly going to head back home, I think, Wednesday. We've got a big golf day on Tuesday, so I think that might be a bit of a long one, but I'm going to get out of here Wednesday, get home to the Gold Coast for a couple of days and head to Korea, where we've got three practice games and against the Korean national team and three practices. We move on then to Osaka, where we play the Hanshin Tigers, the Borex Blue Wave, in practice games in lead-up to the WBC. Then on the 6th of March, we move on to Tokyo. And on the, I think it's the 8th, we play Japan, which will be, that'll be packed out. There'll be 70,000 people there. That'll be a full crowd. And then we play China. And then we've got to try and knock over the world powerhouse Cuba. So we'll get that done. And look, we've got a really good balanced team, I think. And, I'm pretty excited if we can get to that second round. And that's our goal. And I think for the listeners, it's like the Australian soccer team going to that World Cup. It's really tough. But if we can get to that second round, I think it'll be a major achievement and a real shot in the arm for baseball in Australia.
And we'll be able to see the telecast, the games being shown on television?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, ESPN, I think.
ESPN, I think it is, yeah. I didn't know which one to say then. But, so the games will be on and... Hope our guys can really perform up to, you know, what we think they are capable of. And we've got some real young kids on that too. We've got one of the very unlucky not to have both the Wells twins, which are from Newcastle, two really exciting young prospects. But we took Lachlan, which we always say is the older one, by a few minutes. And Alex was a guy that he's on our reserve list. So we've got some young kids going away on that too, because we have really got some good kids coming through the system.
All the best, John. Hopefully I get to see you at Dodger Stadium on the 20th of March in the semi-finals of the World Baseball Classic. That'll be fantastic.
Are you pitching?
No, I won't be. I'll be over in the boxing kangaroo in the crowd, Troy. Good luck, mate. All the best.
Good on you. Thanks for that, guys. Thanks for all of your support this year too. You guys have been awesome.
Very much appreciated. And we'll keep up with it throughout the next season coming up as well in a few months' time with the ABL. The Melbourne Aces, unfortunately, going down to the Brisbane Bandits in the Championship Series, 2-0. Brisbane taking that back-to-back championships for them.
What's happening?
She got her finger up.
No, it's that.
Was I putting my hand up?
You put your hand up for a reason. No, you were hoping he might give us the latest cricket scores.
Well, I still want to, that too. But
I want to know what else he's done this week. This week.
Well, it has been that sort of
thing. Tell us about your weekend again.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you now. What I'm going to do is give you the cricket scores.
We started an hour ago listening to what was going on in regards to the sporting weekend of Tony Shebeki. And if you've just joined us, stand by. There are another couple of episodes.
No, there's not. No. Queensland trail New South Wales by 262 runs in that game being played up at the SCG in the Sheffield Shield. WA winning their game against Tasmania by 9 wickets down at Blundstone Arena in Hobart. But the big one that we've all had our eyes on is Victoria and South Australia. And Victoria making 306 in their second innings, bowling out South Australia for 188. So Victoria winning by 124 runs. A fantastic win to the mighty Vics.
The Bushy Rangers.
The Bush Rangers are doing backers. It well. Hey, guys, time to find out what's happening in the world of tennis at 6:15 here on the Ultimate Wrap. And to do that, we say a very good afternoon, or good evening, I should say, now to Mark Stafoulis, who's been involved with the Bryan brothers and coaching them and as a hitting partner, and plenty of other Australians as well. Mark, good evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tone. It's good to be on the show.
Fantastic to have you on the show, mate. And we're going to look at what's happened in the world of tennis, and there's been some Federation Cup games being played of late.
Yeah, overnight the Australian girls were over in the Ukraine playing off there, and unfortunately we didn't get a good start last night with Ash Barty and Dasha Gavrilova going down. So we're down 2-0 going into tonight to reverse singles, and also the doubles is played tonight as well. So we've started a little bit shaky, but hopefully tonight the girls can turn it around. And if we can get it to a deciding fifth rubber, we've got Casey Dellacqua and Ashleigh Barty going into that. And I think we're pretty confident taking that one. But we still need to make sure we get the two singles rubbers first and foremost.
Mark, it's Troy Zantac speaking, mate. Great to have you on the Ultimate Wrap. Now, my question is, former world number one Maria Sharapova's much-anticipated comeback, that's to kick off at the Stuttgart Grand Prix in April after a 15-month doping ban expires. She's also recently been given a wild card for the Madrid Open in May. I was just wondering, mate, how do you see the comeback? And pardon the pun, but has she done enough grunt work to be back in, nice, in tip-top shape?
The pun was pretty good, Troy.
Thanks so much.
Great comment. But, yeah, look, I mean, it's much anticipated. Maria is such a champion of the game, and it was a pretty unfortunate situation with what happened to her. And, look, you know, with the likes of Petra Kvitova obviously being stabbed earlier in the year and missing a lot of tennis now, and Azarenka's actually out with having a baby. So there's not a lot of top girls to challenge the likes of Serena Williams. So to have Sharapova back on the tour is going to be absolutely outstanding for the game. So she actually won the Madrid Masters in 2014, and that's where they've given her a wild card to hopefully kickstart her 2017 campaign. So it is going to be great to have her back. But how she goes, it's a really tough one, because match hardness is something that you can't really find by practicing. So we're going to find it, you know, pretty challenging probably for her early on, but I think she'll get back to where she was, and there's no doubt she's a champion of the game.
Mark, it's Emma here. Just on Murray, we're just hearing that obviously he had, you know, a disappointing Australian Open. He's taken quite a bit of a break. Looking forward to having him back at the Davis Cup in April.
Andy Murray had a look. It was probably a challenging match for Andy at the Australian Open, where he played Misha Zverev, and Zverev's such a different player. So I'm not going to read too much into his loss there. He's such a champion. He's world number one, first time playing as the world number one in a Grand Slam event, and you know he'll be back, you know, better than ever. And there's no doubt, you know, the top players of the game are always going to get back on their horse. And he's going to challenge again for the French Open. And, you know, it's just confidence with players like that. So he'll go away, have a bit of a break, get back into it, and there's no doubt he'll be fine.
Mark, we'll get you to keep an eye on our Aussie players for us as well when we chat to you, and we'll find out how they're going. Before we get to our Aussie wrap for this week, just a quick one. I'm not sure if you're over this one or not, but Andrea Petkovic revealing that she considered walking off the court after a banned verse of the German national anthem was sung before the Fed Cup clash with the US in Hawaii. The United States 1-0 leaders early there in that clash. But that's amazing that they'd play the wrong anthem.
It is quite interesting, Shebex. I haven't heard that one, to be honest, today. But,
the verse of the anthem that was sung dates to World War II era Germany and brought a stern response from Petkovic and an official statement of apology from the US Tennis Association.
Hey guys, you know what happens? Somebody sat there, Googled it, and thought, oh, it's come up. I can use this version without thinking second time. And the embarrassment right across the board.
So it wasn't properly vetted, George.
Here we go. Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
It is super
embarrassing for the people involved there. So I haven't heard that one, but
You have now.
Listen to the Ultimate Wrap.
Exactly. You've heard it chapter and verse, Mark.
Hey, Mark, bring us up to date with what's happening with the Aussies around the world.
Yeah, look, you know, starting from probably last weekend, I think it's really big for us to understand that, you know, the Australians have gotten through to the next round of the Davis Cup. I think that's probably the biggest news we've got in Australia, with debutante Jordan Thompson getting through in both of his singles matches, which I thought was outstanding on debut. We're going to go through and play the United States of America in Canberra. So the home of Nick Kyrgios, which is going to be exciting. Hopefully Nick does play this time and represent the country. And hopefully we have Bernard Tomic back after a little bit of a stoush with Leighton Hewitt of late. So it'd be nice to have those two guys playing, because the United States are pretty strong, and we need our strongest team to play them.
In other news, probably the only other news we've got at the moment, JP Smith and Matt Reed are in the final of a doubles event challenger in San Francisco at the moment. So they're doing quite well. And Brad Mousley and Luke Saville have taken out the Launceston doubles event as well in Launceston this weekend. $75,000 challenger event. So there's not a lot going on just due to the Fed Cup and the Davis Cup commitments of most of the players. So Aussies will be in action hopefully in the next few weeks. There's a big American swing coming up in the next few weeks. Delray Beach, Miami and Indian Wells are all coming up, which I think, Shebex, you might be heading to.
Jeez, you've been listening to the program.
That was so.
How many mentions of Shebex on this show, Mark? It's the Tony Shebex show.
I've been listening on the way to this phone call, and let me tell you, it is the Tony Shebex show.
He's got a sore back, Mark. He's been patting it that often.
The only thing Mark hasn't contributed this particular show is another version of Emma's surname.
Emma, not a Francesco. Yeah, Mark, can you come up with something there?
Give us your best shot.
Emma, not a
you
Francesco.
You may win a ham.
Wow, we've got plenty of them in here.
Well, let me tell you, my surname gets an absolute whipping half the time, so I'm not going to even go to trying to pronounce anybody's surname because mine absolutely cops a shellacking.
Yeah, well,
what's the background of that name?
My background, yep. I've got a Greek father and an Italian mother. So,
oh, I love it. What a combo.
Half and half, yeah. So plenty of Mediterranean action in me.
Plenty of pasta and spanakopita. Yeah.
That's it, mate. Exactly.
Good on you, Mark. Thanks for joining us, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yasu, mate.
You.
Mark's the fullest joining us for our tennis wrap. And before I finish my wrap, boys.
No?
Yeah. My rap again.
You finish your rap? I didn't get to finish my rap.
Let Emma talk. You radio
hog! I was going to say, speaking of pasta, I'm starving.
We're going to go for a beautiful dinner down at
you're a shout host.
Restaurant later on. Mogul skiers,
You can't say it now, can you? You're just thinking pasta.
Mogul skier Britt Cox has claimed her fifth win in 7 World Cup events to become one of Australia's best hopes of Winter Olympic gold next year. Cox made it 5 wins from 7 starts of the World Cup circuit this season with another dominant performance in Phoenix Park in Pyeongchang, 23 plus.
You know, Shebexter, can I just say, the day that we get a camera in this studio, this show will actually go through, it'll go viral and it'll go global. You have just done the most magical presentation with both of your rappers on the ground in stitches. I wish I could have taken photos.
Can we go to a break, please?
Anything to drink, I promise.
On 11:16 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki, George Danikin, Troy Zantuck and Emma Notafrancesco.
It is the ultimate wrap with thanks to Jetport Airport Parking. And Troy, we can check out Jetport Parking next time we head down to the airport.
You certainly can, Tony. Their service is a great way to beat those crippling airport prices you encounter every time you use Tullamarine. Jetport have 11 shuttles running 24/7. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 24/7. All designed with one thing in mind, to make sure your trip to and from the airport is as seamless as possible. Staff will help with luggage too. And if you need to rent a car or truck, Jetport can help with its connections to Europcar. Next time you're driving to the airport, Jetport parking is your option. It's the simplest way to get there and back to your car. Check in with Jetport parking next time before you fly.
And Emma, what about our great friends down there at Northern Motors and the Northern Motors Group? And part of the Northern Motors Group is Northern Jeep.
That's right, Tony. I've got an announcement to make. My good mate Nick and the team at Northern Jeep, Australia's number one Jeep dealer,
they will be your good mates by the end of this evening, let me tell you.
I've got a Jeep at home, okay? It should be my name that you mentioned. No. Okay. They're offering the lowest finance that can't be beaten on all new and demo Jeeps. Plus, if you mention my name, not my name, George's name.
Free bottle of shampoo.
Head and shoulders above the rest.
They'll give you an additional $250 off the drive-away price. Go see the great team at Northern Jeep, Grimshaw Street, Bundoora.
And if you're wondering, approved applicants only. Terms and conditions apply. And the offer, this particular offer, ends 28th of February 2017. LNCT 6595. I've done that before, haven't I?
You have?
Yeah.
You have. Yeah, Troy Zantuck, what's happening in the world of AFL?
Well, there were some tremendous captaincy nominations during the week, Shebex. Captain News, including one of my favourite all-time players, Dyson Heppel, taking over the captaincy. 24 years of age, 106 games up for the Bombers, and one of the best players in the competition. Yeah, ticks every box, George.
Standout young man.
Great player, great person, and I think he'll do a tremendous job for the Bombers. Also, the Saints with Jarryn Geary, who's played 141 games, the 28-year-old who was taken number 58 in the 2007 rookie draft, a tremendous performance.
Remember you said grunt work about Sharapova?
Yes.
This young man has, hasn't
he's
he?
He's done plenty. He's done it the hard way, Jarryn Geary. And
hats appreciates
off to
every
him.
Effort.
Absolutely. And also, Melbourne have named Jack Viney as the co-captain with Nathan Jones.
How proud would his dad be?
Well, Todd,
and mum?
Todd's a friend of mine. He former Melbourne captain, Todd, and one of the hardest nuts ever to play the game. Don't worry about
that. He could play a little tennis too, huh?
Yeah, he could play a little bit of tennis, and he liked to embellish stories about Boris Becker. But hats off to Todd and Megan. Very proud parents. Jack, he'll do a great job. 22 years of age. 70 games under his belt, won the 2016 Bluey Truscott Medal, and just absolutely
and Goodwin,
wrapped for
and Goodwin
Jack Viney.
Would have a lot of confidence in him, wouldn't he?
Well, he must have. At 22 years of age, to be made co-captain of one of the founding clubs in the AFL, it's just a
huge honour.
Tremendous story.
Todd Viney caught up with the boys on SEN during the week, and this is what he had to say about his son being given the captaincy.
You know, it's come out of the blue a bit. Obviously, we've only found out the last probably half a day to digest it, but, you know, certainly very proud of Jack with the efforts that he's put in so far to firstly make the AFL and now to have a leadership role as co-captain of the club's outstanding. So, very proud of him.
And so he should.
And
fantastic.
So he should. Yep, exactly right. Yeah.
So three inspired choices there. Dyson Heppel, Jarryn Geary and Jack Viney.
Terrific stuff.
Great. All right, little segment we've got here, guys, called Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. I'm going to give you a little scenario in the world of sport that's happened over the last few days.
And if you're wondering, you've just joined us on SEN. This is the Ultimate Wrap, brand new program featuring Tony Shebeki, Emma Notta-Francesco.
It's not about me, though, George.
The infamous Troy Zantuck. And yours truly, GD.
George Shenikin.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on board.
If you mention Tony Shebeki's name?
I did.
If you want to join us, 942-9-11-16, if you want to give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on any of our topics as well, we'd love to hear your thoughts also. 942-9-11-16, or you can send us a SMS, 0433-98-11-16. Join us on Twitter, at The Ultimate Wrap. Plenty of ways you can be in touch. Former Socceroo star Josh Kennedy. Guys, says he's confident Argentina and Brazil will be playing to win when they clash at the MCG in June. The friendly, which will feature Lionel Messi and Neymar Jr., is part of the Brazil Golden Global Tour. Let's have a listen to what Kennedy had to say about the big event down here in Melbourne.
From a player and ex-player's point of view, these are the two teams you want to play against and want to watch. And I think to have them in our backyard now in Melbourne is a huge deal.
How big a deal is it going to be?
Hey, ICC had Man City and Real Madrid, and we got 99,500 turn up for that exhibition game. Yeah, this one, we'll have people coming over from around the world, from Asia, from across the Tassie, even from a place called New Zealand. They'll be coming from everywhere to be at the G, because it'll be the world coming to see two of the best nations, Argentina and Brazil. Neymar, Lionel Messi. Think about it, guys. Carlos Tevez will be even there, I reckon.
Do you think they'll bring all of their big names out?
Oh, I think it's part of the stipulation. Of
these guys don't pay friendlies, do they? They just don't pay friendlies.
They play Copa Americas, World Cups, correct. World Cups, qualifiers. It's not any time you see them play together.
Their country, you can feel the buoyancy. If Argentina wins this, the bragging rights are huge. If Brazil wins, the bragging rights are huge. So stand by. Special night at the MCG, and it'll be on for young and old.
Seven World Cups between them. Neymar on $24.6 million a year. Messi on a lazy $35 million a year.
That was your salary at Wild World of Sports,
yeah,
wasn't
it? It used to be. Yeah.
Well, did he take a pay cut? just a question. After the 1956 Olympics, do you think this will be the biggest sporting event ever staged in Melbourne?
Had the Commonwealth Games.
The Olympic Games was huge. Australia played Italy, and we had a huge crowd. But in actual stature, probably the Olympic Games would in 2000, the tournament that was played at the G, we had Australia and Italy. That was huge.
This isn't far behind.
But I would have thought...
But I'm talking about two of the best teams in the world, George.
That's fair enough.
The Barcelona teammates, two of the best players in the world.
Well, we'll be on air that weekend, and we can we'll be able to surmise and make a judgment after we see what actually happens. It'll be fantastic.
I think we'll be there too, George, just quietly. Come on.
Will you have time to wash your hair?
No, I'll do it for this game, just as long as you organise the tickets, buddy.
Okay.
So thumbs up.
Tony and Guy coming on board to wash
your
hair.
Thumbs up. 100%.
Former NBA enforcer Charles Oakley has been ejected or was ejected from the stands at a New York Knicks game and arrested as well. The 53-year-old former All-Star was reportedly going after Knicks owner James Doolan before getting into a shoving match with security. Oakley was watching his former team take on the LA Clippers. Let's have a listen to how the commentators saw this one.
There's Charles Oakley over there, Mike.
Fight in the stands. As Charles Oakley is involved in something. They need security in a big way. Security is there. Oakley now being taken off. And this is an ugly thing to see about a guy who played here for over 10 years, a terrific player.
So there you go. A former player getting involved in a stoush at his former club's game. It's not a good look, is it?
No. Thumbs down.
No, thumbs down all round.
No more comment. That's it.
No. Let's move on.
Was there more?
We're trying to encourage good behaviour, not bad behaviour.
Off the back of that, though, there is a lot of ex-sportsmen who just become dial-a-quote sort of guys, don't they? There's a lot of blokes around that if something happens in the world of sport, in their sport, all the media strut on the phone to them just to get that.
Why are you talking about Warnie like that again?
Well, he's one. He is one. Veteran ringside doctor Lou Lewis blasted his colleague and the referee who allowed Danny Green's fight with Anthony Mundine to continue. Let's have a listen to what Dr. Lou Lewis said on Francis Leach's program earlier this week.
So Danny Green admits he was concussed, so how was it ever allowed to happen?
Exactly right. Unfortunately, the other doctor said he's okay to go on. And I said, that can't happen. And he said, look, I'm the official doctor for some reason or other, and he says, in my opinion, we're going to let the fight go on. I said, look, I'm walking away from this now. The referee and you can sort out between yourselves. I'm just going to sit down. It should never, ever have been allowed to go on. I was just disgusted that this fight was allowed to continue after 10 seconds.
Would it have been the ref's call, Dr. Lewis?
The referee should have stopped it as soon as the punch happened and Green was in distress. He should have counted the 10 or stopped it and don't even bother counting, and then turned to the opponent and said, either you win by knockout or you're disqualified because it's a foul. End of story.
So should there be some penalty that ref should face for not doing that?
Absolutely, mate. I don't think that referee was totally, in my opinion, derelict of his duties.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Ooh. Oh, terrible.
To that comment especially.
I know, 100% right, and it's thumbs down.
Yeah. Mm. Have we seen any penalty
come
out of that as yet? Nothing.
No. Well, we do know that Anthony Mundine, I think, is launching an appeal against the actual decision.
And Anthony's on air tonight on SCN.
He is. He's actually just
special interview.
Walked into the studio, and he'll be here with Tony Sheen and Mark Allen after 7 o'clock for the hour, 7 till 8.
Anthony Mundine's father, the other Tony Mundine, used to be a great friend of the family. They used to live in Redfern, of course. My father used to have a service station in Abercrombie Street, Chippendale. And we remember the young Anthony.
There you go.
So there's some history there, George.
A little bit of history.
The Dunakians and the Mundines.
Yeah, and he was also a St. George player, so enormous respect for him as a rugby league man. And not easy to change sports in the middle of your career and make an impact.
Exactly.
Yes, Miss M.
Sorry.
I love it.
Am I the only one that puts their hand up when they want to talk?
Zig Heil.
As I said earlier, I said the Euro rap, and Franco has texted in to say, you should call this show the WOG Squad. Keep up the great work.
That was a name that was fair enough. It was looked
it's
at.
Not bad.
No, have we got good. The most letters in our surnames than any other radio
no
show?
Doubt.
100%. No need a bow. Buy a bow.
Final line. Thumbs up, thumbs down before we head to a break, guys. Alistair Cook has resigned from the England captaincy after a difficult 2016 included 4-0 test whitewash in India. The opening batsman steps down as the longest serving captain in his nation's history, boasting 2 Ashes series victory. The man who replaces Andrew Strauss, is charged with finding a successor as the director of cricket. This is what Andrew Strauss had to say about it.
His character, his drive and his determination, but also probably because, he had that touch with people, the empathy for what players have been through. You know, he's had some tough times along the way, and I think he could appreciate when other people had tough times.
I've got to say, the incredible thing there is that these days, the form guide says, if you're a captain and you're not making runs, and your side loses, you normally lose your job.
Yeah, it's tough. Thumbs down for the decision because now, unfortunately, England have another captain that they can bring in for the Ashes. And that might just strengthen him. I was happy with Cook as captain.
No, I think he was cooked, to be honest.
That's the... Look, you can't hold the Zantac down.
No, that's...
He's made it. He's just slipped that one in just when you weren't looking.
And let's say Indian could be rooting for their next captain.
There you go.
Joe could get it. It is 28 minutes, is it? No, it's 22 minutes to 7 here on 11:16. SEN. We'll take the break on The Ultimate Wrap. Back with more in just a tick.
11:16 SEN. The Ultimate Wrap with Tony Chabecki, George Tanikian, Troy Zantac and Emma Notafrancesco.
Welcome back. It is 90 minutes to 7 here on 11:16 SEN.
And we've just got another contribution from the SMS line, and it's Emma
Not a skinny latte.
There you go.
We're getting it. We'll keep this going for a couple of weeks because I reckon we'll get some...
A couple of weeks. It could be all season.
It could be all season, exactly.
And by the way, an apology because you've just grabbed something regarding Oakley.
Oh, no, not an apology, but it's a clarification.
I've got to apologise. Yeah. Because clearly these people know what's really happened.
Yeah.
And we maybe have to relook at rethink our position on Oakley's efforts.
One of our listeners sent us in a text saying that he's been supported by NBA players all around as they believe the Knicks owner Doolin has run the franchise into the ground, disrespects the players and also the fans.
Well, if that's the case, if that is
probably
going to
be
case,
right, hasn't he?
Probably standing up for the club that he played for and the fans that he supported and really, got in front of and gave them everything he had, and he doesn't want to see it diminish in any way, shape, or form. So good luck to them.
A little segment that we're going to do each week is called "I Can't Believe I Saw That." Oh. So you might not want to get involved now, folks, because you haven't had time to think about it. But through the week, just keep your eye out on different things in the world of sport. We'll get you to ring up 942 911 16 or send us a text 0433 98 11 16. Send us a tweet.
Easy to do on the SEN app, especially.
And let us know something that you cannot believe you saw this week. Troy Zantac, kick us off.
Well, I was watching the Brisbane Roar and the Melbourne City go. George and Emma know where I'm coming from. And I watched one of the most incredible penalties ever given last night. And it concerned Jamie McLaren. He took the penalty. It was on Borrello. And Rose, was it?
Young Josh Rose.
Josh Rose.
He's still wondering if we're playing touch football.
Yeah, I'm just in a state.
George's not happy.
I just can't believe. And Milner, the referee, had a bird's eye view of this. And
you notice I never mentioned his name when I made the rap a little earlier because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. Put him up there and expose him, but there you go. Yeah. I'm going to back you this time.
Yeah, well,
I thought I saw a putty cat.
He had a bird's eye view, and he thought he saw a putty cat.
He had a bird's eye view, and even Tweety Bird couldn't believe it. So I could not believe my eyes. So there you go.
There you go. All right, fair enough. My one, if you're wondering, I saw the women's AFL. And I'm still wondering about that collision between the Demons
Meg
player.
Downey.
Meg Downey. Absolutely got hit by the Collingwood player running through. Was it a shoulder that hit her chin?
Yeah, it was either a shoulder or an elbow.
The lights didn't look like anything when you first watch it.
Yeah, but on the other angle.
She went down very hard. She's a player.
And just goes, if anyone's wondering if this is, if the players care... Mm. They have been so excited about giving this opportunity to play. They're giving 100%. Forget about the 150. That doesn't exist. It's 100%. And they're going for it. They're giving their teams every best ounce of their talents. And unfortunately, this is what contact sport can do. We've seen it with young Rousey. And listen, when they hit you, you stay hit.
I mentioned it this morning on our Sunday recovery program.
Never thought I'd say
I don't want to be the dinosaur in the room again.
Oh, stop it, dinosaur.
It's a bad look. I just don't like seeing women knocked out. I don't. I
the
really
world's
don't.
Changing.
I just think I know,
no, I understand that. I know it is. And
some
I've
of the strongest
to,
people in the world are women.
We need to
remember that
women have been playing contact sport for years. It's just a little bit different.
It's cool.
In 2 years' time, no one's going to even look twice.
There you
go. It's just it's.
Are you enjoying the AFL Women's M?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm loving it. I'm loving watching these women. I mean, they're inspiring so many different people.
I want Emma to interview that new driver.
Simone.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. I want to hear how competitive her juices are.
It's such a great time for women in sport. I'm really enjoying it. Are you guys watching? Are you enjoying
it? Yeah, we are. Oh, absolutely. Sure. But I tell you what, I had a chat to Kevin Bartlett on Friday night at the function that I was at, and he brought up a very good point. Someone asked him about what he thought about the women's competition, and he's made the point on air as well that he says he thinks it's great. He said it's a fantastic opportunity for women to play footy, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
What his major concern is that how damaging it's going to be to every other woman's sport in Australia. Because what's happening is these ladies now are being turned into absolute superstars as being part of the AFLW, and girls at the beginning growing up. And he did a test. He said, how many people out there know who the Australian women's basketball captain is? Half a dozen put up their hand. How many know who the Australian netball captain is? A dozen put up their hand. He said, how many people know Mona Hope? Everyone put up their hand. He said, that's what I'm talking about.
Will it lift these other girls, sports, though?
But I don't think it will. I tend to agree with him.
He's suggesting that there's a great deal of cannibalisation. Yeah. Yeah, look, my view at the moment is this. There's a lot of legitimacy in what you heard, and that's a fair comment, and it's coming from someone who knows. But here's another perspective. Yeah? Think about this. You can't have a career at the moment in AFL women's.
At the moment.
At the
moment, right? Being very, very...
If you want to have a career in women's sport, you can do it by being a Matilda and by playing in the W League. You can do it playing cricket, all right?
And you can do it, I believe, in the union too,
correct? Because I think they're paying them
the sevens, a legitimate
wage, which is terrific. But until that actually happens, and until we see maybe 15 or 20 games a season, and they're getting some real return for their effort, I don't think it's going to be the case. But you're right, it's at the moment.
We'll wait and see. Em, what did you see?
Me? Okay. Well, I was at the drift cars this weekend. I don't know if you guys know a lot about drifting. But
do you do drag racing as well?
No.
Hey, I've seen Fast and Furious drifting. Is that nearby?
Yes, that's exactly
so
what
I'm thinking. That's the only time I've learnt anything about drifting.
Well, I didn't know much about it at the start either, but it's actually fascinating to watch. I've got a little interview for you.
You've got to be skillful to get around without crashing.
You do.
Exactly. How about skill? This is my, I can't believe I saw that. Rob Arbolino. He was sitting fifth on the leaderboard in the series championship. Went out there after having a busted motor. Mind you, it was 49 degrees yesterday at Eastern Creek. Went out there and worst luck of all, his bonnet popped open while he was drifting. He kept going and he won the drift.
That is a fair effort.
Bonnet popped open. I'm going to have to post the photo on Twitter because it is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The crowd were going absolutely wild.
That's happened to me at Swan Street on occasion. Em?
Did it really?
Yeah, the bonnet just pops open.
Need a new car?
Thank you very little.
We need to get him a better sponsor. I think
we do.
That's what we're going to do. The ones that keep the bonnet.
Who'd you catch
place.
Up with?
Yes, I caught up with the winner of round 5, which was last night, the final round, and he also won overall. His name is Bo Yates. Let's take a listen. Bo Yates, congratulations, the winner of round 5 and the winner overall for the series. You are the champion. Well done.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, it's been a hard-fought championship, 5 rounds of the high-tech series, and a lot of these guys, I got runner-up last year, so to go one step further this year, it's fantastic for the team and everyone involved.
And also fun watching you do a shoey. Was that your first shoey?
Yes, but that's my first shoey, so I don't know if I did it correctly, but it tasted pretty ordinary, actually, so... I've been wearing those boots for a couple of years now, so listen, I mean, that's all part of drifting, I guess. It's all about the flair and bits and pieces, so, hopefully everyone enjoyed what they saw tonight.
Absolutely. And just for those that don't know much about drifting, for our listeners, can you just give us a bit of a 101 on drift cars? What exactly are you judged on? Tell us a little bit more about it in a nutshell.
Okay, drifting in a nutshell, I mean, it's the three main judging criteria is still speed, line and angle. So obviously the judges, there's a panel of 3 or 4 judges at any one time, basically 3 judges. They score you out of 10 points, so actually the criteria is speed, line and angle. So one judge will judge you on your speed, the second judge on your line, and then the third judge on your angle, obviously. And then they compile the points, and obviously you go through qualifying, and it's a knockout competition, so you'll qualify for a spot in the top 32, and then 32 play six, 32 down to 16, top eight, top four final. Very much like a surfing comp or what, but...
That sounds easy enough.
Yeah, well, it sounds easy, but there's a lot that goes into it. And then obviously when we go into a tandem battle, you have a lead and a follow lap. So obviously in the lead lap, you want to put down the best qualifying run you can do. So showing the judges that you're going out to all the clipping points whilst maintaining good speed, line and angle.
Well, it looks like you had it all for the season. Congratulations, the champion for the 2016-2017 season.
Yeah, thank you so much. Cheers.
Great work.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Getting out and about
last night.
That's what we need to be doing.
And as I said before, again, it was 50 degrees at Eastern Creek. These guys sitting in their cars, who knows what.
Another 10 degrees on top of that at least.
I think we get your drift, Em.
All right, I'll stop talking.
I can't believe I saw one of the most successful athletics meets ever to be held, and I'm talking about, I reckon, maybe even outside of the Olympics.
The Nitro.
Nitro Athletics is just going to be, for its first effort, full houses up to 8,000 people at the home of South Melbourne Soccer Club.
Yep, I've got to say, that's a fantastic venue for a start.
It is.
They've spent quite a deal of money to bring it up to speed. Athletics Victoria have come on board, and there's a School of Excellence there. They've got the sensational track, but what the most magnificent view, and especially at night time, of Melbourne and Melbourne City.
Marvellous.
Looks sensational. Yeah, so the setting is perfect, by the water, by the lake.
Yep.
And more importantly, you've got the number one fastest man in the world, who is, let's just say, very discernible from even 100 yards away, and he ran with great excitement and great vigour, and he was fast.
He was
Usain
fantastic.
Bolt. Why wouldn't you want to turn up and get involved?
And they're talking about Nitro possibly going to other countries as a lot of interest has become available from other cities.
Yes, so but it's got to stay in Melbourne.
The great news is that Athletics Australia actually own a major stakeholding in the Nitro Athletics. So if it does go to other cities, that's great money that's going to be coming into Australian athletics, which is fantastic.
All right, fair enough.
Just on your,
I'd like to keep it in Melbourne. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just on your topic earlier, Tony, you were talking about AFL Women's. Lee has texted in from Lilydale saying daughters 10 and 12 both want out of netball and want to play AFL next year. There you go.
There you go.
Yep. Thought that might be the case. Hey, let's take our final break for the hour. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the show with a couple more things here on The Ultimate Wrap. Our first show tonight here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
On 1116 SEN, The Ultimate Wrap with Tony Shebeki, George Tanikian, Troy Sanchak and Emma Notafrancesco.
As we head up to 7 o'clock, and don't forget, after 7 o'clock, it is Mark Allen and Tony Sheen interviewing Anthony Mundine here in the studio for the hour between 7 and 8. It's going to be an absolute ripper of an interview, and looking forward to seeing what Shock's got to say about what happened last week and also the remainder.
Yeah, huge insight.
Yeah, exactly. Also, we should mention too, after 8 o'clock, the boys, Dave Davutovic and also Zappers. Michael Zapponi, bringing us the world of football. The Ultimate Wrap brought to you by our great friends at Northern Motors. A great decision to go out there if you can. Australia's number one Jeep dealer. And they've got a secret. Oh, I've got a secret that I'm going to let you in on. Because if you go down there, they're offering the lowest finance. And you can't be beaten on their finance on all new and demo Jeeps. Plus, if you mention George Danikian's name, they're going to give you an additional $250 off the drive-away price. Go and see the team at Northern Jeep, Grimshaw Street in Bundoora. Approved applicants only. Terms and conditions apply. Offer ends 28th February 2017. LMCT 6595.
I love the way you do that. One of the other sponsors that have come on board, and we're thrilled to have them, the people at Jetport Airport Parking, who are setting the new standard for long-term and short-term parking at Melbourne's Tullamarine. Mm. Check out Jetport next time you fly. Their service is not only great, but they beat those crippling airport prices that you encounter every time you ever contemplate heading out to Tullamarine. Jetport have 11 shuttles, and they run 24/7. And they're all designed with the one thing in mind, to make sure that your trip to and from the airport is as seamless as possible. And don't worry about the luggage. Staff will help you with that. And if you need to rent a car or a truck, Jetport can help. And if you wonder why that is the case, it's because they've had a long-time connection with Eurocar. So they know they were around the traps. Check in with Jetport Parking is our suggestion next time before you fly.
Let's get to the phones as we wrap it up. Woody out of Cheltenham. G'day, Woody.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, to reinforce you, Tony, I sat and watched the Collingwood Melbourne match, and I'm a Magpie, so obviously the second half disappointed me. But yep. I can tell you the next 3 hours of TV viewing, and I was there live for Kieran McCann. I was there watching Cathy Freeman and Johnson. But that 3 hours of television of the Nitro was as great and an enjoyable TV you'd want to watch because of the participation. Sure, the aura and charisma of Usain Bolt, but Genevieve Lacaz, John Stephenson, the whole factors, all the factors, and bringing back memories of ACC sport when we had all the cheer squads.
And exactly.
And we saw a young 16-year-old make herself.
Brilliant.
Yeah, no, you're spot on, Woody. And
didn't
the other
we see a young 16-year-old
yeah,
announce
did.
Herself?
Yeah, the young, well, I can't remember what her name is now, but she was fantastic in the relay. She ran against Bolt. The other thing that I thought was fantastic, too, was the coaches on the inside yelling out at their, being allowed in there to yell out at their charges as they go past. It was just good. It was good, good, good.
It was beautifully
marketed.
Can you imagine,
imagine if that concept picked up and ran in tennis?
Well, yeah, it might not be too far away. We'll talk to Mark about that in the next couple of weeks. Damien out of Strathmore to wrap us up. G'day, Damien.
G'day, guys. It's a guru here. Just thought I'd say hello. And I've got a couple of names for Emma.
Thanks, mate.
Love it.
Emma, not afraid to disco.
Ooh,
hey,
I do
that.
Like a good disco dance every now and again.
Or you can go the other way. Emma, not a fan of disco. Either way.
Beautiful. It all works.
We're going to keep this going for a few weeks. Names for Emma. Emma, not a Francesco, is her current name now. That's going to change in the next couple of weeks. But, George, you get the honour to wrap up the show.
Look, it's been a lot of fun to be able to have our own family, so to speak. As someone said, the WOG squad.
The WOG squad.
But to actually be able to take it where we want to, with the support of the people at SEN, has been fun. And to our special sponsors who've come on board, namely Jetport, the best way to support them is always to pick their product first, and also to the great team at Northern Jeep. And I love the sound of the chopper because it brings back memories. And I used to be able to say, hey, Emma, what's happening in the traffic?
Thanks, George. Well... No, but we're not talking about traffic.
What's happening
we're just,
in the world
we're just
sport?
Wrapping up this week. So starting with the W League final tonight, can Melbourne City win back-to-back titles as they go up against Perth Glory? Good luck to the girls. Tomorrow, my boys, Melbourne Victory, go up against the Newcastle Jets. The JLT Community Series begins this Thursday with a clash between Collingwood and Essendon at Etihad. Looking forward to see, I'm looking at you, Troy, the return of James Elliott on Thursday night.
Yes.
And round three of the AFL Women's League kicks off on Saturday with GWS taking on Fremantle. Thanks,
that
boys.
Is it
fun.
Done and dusted, guys. Thank you, Troy. Thank you, George.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you for tuning in to our very first episode of The Ultimate Wrap. We'll be back next Sunday, 6 to 8 next week. We only came in early this week because after us, stay tuned, folks. It's going to be a rip-roaring interview. Mark Allen, Tony Sheen, catching up with Anthony Mundine live here in the studio coming up in just a couple of minutes' time.